So yesterday the interesting question was placed to me by our Nityananda Ramachari. That how is it that Vyasadeva, who is self-realized soul and the incarnation of Godhead, how is it that he is bewildered and disappointed?
Because such a great personality should be in complete knowledge. And especially Vyasadeva, because he's giving knowledge to the whole of human society. So how is it that he is appearing to be not in full knowledge, dissatisfied? You can just keep it there. Only you have to hear. Everyone else can follow the translation. Understand Tamil?
Tamil?
Kuncham. English? My voice may not reach so far. So, in reply, I gave the example of Arjuna. That Arjuna, he is also a pure devotee, eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. But he appeared to be totally bewildered about his duty. He appeared to be like an ordinary conditioned soul. But it's understood that he was put in that condition to effect the Lord speaking of Bhagavad Gita. And the evidence of that is that he immediately understood Bhagavad Gita after Krishna spoke it. There are so many great pundits who are studying Bhagavad Gita, but they find it difficult to actually understand what is the meaning. Srila Prabhupada made Bhagavad Gita as it is, because most interpretations, they are Bhagavad Gita without full or proper understanding. As Krishna told Arjuna, that bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hiyate ruttamam. I am saivayang maya teja yoga prokta puratanaha. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hiyate ruttamam. That I am speaking to you this very ancient knowledge, because I'm speaking to you. Why to you? Because you are my devotee as well as my very dear friend. So that is the qualification to understand Bhagavad Gita. As Krishna states in Gita itself, bhakti amam abhijanati. I can be understood by the process of bhakti, not by any other process. So Arjuna temporarily appeared to be in maya, but the fact that he understood Bhagavad Gita immediately shows that actually his knowledge was only temporarily covered for a particular purpose. But that also demonstrates the difference between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva. As Krishna states in Krishna told Bhagavad Gita when I told in Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna was surprised, how did you speak to the Sun God? Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tapacharjuna tani angveda sarvani natvang veta parantapa. That you and I, both of us have had many births. I can remember them all, but you cannot. So we can understand that even if one is as perfect a devotee as Arjuna, who is an eternal associate of the Lord, his knowledge will never be equal to that of the Supreme Lord. Arjuna did not remember all his previous births. Krishna did. We see it's very common in the lives of great Vaishnavas that they may appear to be like, in many ways, like ordinary people. Our own Srila Prabhupada appeared to be like a businessman with an interest in bhakti. That he was an ordinary family man and a devotee also. But later it became manifest that he was a great, great devotee of incomparable. We see in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that another great acharya, that he appeared in many ways to be like a materialistic person. With having had a Western education, I mean an English medium education, which was quite uncommon in those days, he was more inclined towards Christianity, it seems. But later when he came in contact with the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to write such wonderful writings that there's no comparison to the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So no one could write like Bhaktivinoda Thakur unless he's on the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which means he's very, very, very highly advanced devotee, very special devotee. Such wonderful writings with songs and poems and philosophical books, and even he made some novels to present Krishna consciousness. So one should never consider that a Vaishnava is simply a materialistic person. You should never equate their position with that of an ordinary person. It may appear in his life that he had some previous material attachments, but we should know that that is only circumstantial. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked about this by some of his disciples, that Prabhupada said that in his kindness, Srila Prabhupada once said that all my Western disciples, they are sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help me spread this movement. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, we were so sinful and ignorant, how could that be possible? Prabhupada said that was just incidental. And Prabhupada said that when you came to Krishna consciousness, you immediately took it up very seriously, all of you. So that is the proof that actually your real life is one of Krishna consciousness. So it is a general principle that one should not see the past of a Vaishnava if it appears to be non-Vaishnava. If someone says, oh, this is a great Vaishnava, and someone else says, yes, but do you know he used to eat meat and so many things? To consider that, to look at the past of a Vaishnava and try to bring him down on that basis is actually very offensive. Everyone in this material world is sinful in the sense that we have rejected Krishna. But whatever one's past may be, if one is engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness, then he is glorious. One should be very careful in considering the character of Vaishnavas. Even if one sees that a Vaishnava is suffering or sick or any such thing, one shouldn't think that, oh, now he's under the influence of the modes of material nature. Jato deko Vaishnava vebohara duk nischoy janeho taha parananda shuk. In Chaitanya Bhagavad, Vrindavan Das Thakur warns us that you may see that a Vaishnava appears to be suffering in this material world, but you should know that this is all just another manifestation of transcendental bliss. Vishoy madanda Vaishnava te nachine. Persons who are blinded by sense gratification, they cannot recognize a Vaishnava. Even a Vaishnava himself, it may be in some cases, he appears to be himself a materialistic sense enjoyer. There's the well-known story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Gadadha Pandit. When Mukunda Datta brought Gadadha to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadha was doubtful about Pundarika Vidyanidhi. Mukunda Datta, another devotee, he brought Gadadha to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik was sitting on a very nice silk decorated bed, silk, and his hair was nicely combed with scented oil, and so many servants were fanning him. And so Gadadha doubted, how is this Vaishnava? He looks like a great sense enjoyer. So Mukunda, seeing that Gadadha was doubting, he sang one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying the merciful nature of Krishna. On hearing this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi became mad in love of God and started running here and there, shouting, jumping, and this ecstasy continued for a long time. So then Gadadhar understood, actually, he doesn't look very renounced, but he's certainly a very great man. So this is the real symptom of a Vaishnava, that he's very much attached to Krishna. And although generally we expect that a Vaishnava will be very detached from this material world, he may also use everything in this material world in Krishna's service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced that Vaishnavas may live in quite opulent surroundings. One can see his quarters in Calcutta with nice furniture, nice bed and all these things. But he used these facilities to welcome the aristocratic class of people. And he would preach to them about Krishna consciousness. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. If one is not attached to anything of this material world, but uses everything in Krishna's service, that is called yukta vairagya. So again, getting back to Vyasadeva, why did Vyasadeva appear to be bewildered? Well, we can understand at least one important point is there, that Vyasadeva was showing that without guidance from Guru, even very great personality, he may not properly understand everything. Vyasadeva's knowledge was withheld so that he could be instructed by Narada Muni. Narada Muni is also an eternally perfect devotee, but he also at one point appeared to be bewildered about the nature of the Absolute Truth. And when he was instructed by his guru, by Brahma, then he understood what is the factual position. So this is the system, since time immemorial, that one has to understand Shastra through the via medium of Guru. Guru doesn't mean simply some picture on the wall. There are certain formalities in dealing with Guru that one is expected to serve, and maybe there will be some things like washing feet and this and that. But these formalities in themselves do not constitute the essence of the guru-disciple relationship. Most importantly, one has to hear from Guru. Because a Guru is Shrotriyang Brahmanishtam. He has heard, he himself has heard in the cyclic succession, and is fixed in that knowledge. So one should go to a Guru to get knowledge by the process of hearing. And serving. Unless one serves Guru, then that knowledge, he may hear it, but it will not become fixed in the heart. So you see, even such a great personality as Vyasadeva, who certainly knows everything, but he also appeared to be bewildered for some time. But after hearing from Narad, he was able to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the incomparable Shastra. So we can understand, certainly Vyasadeva is not an ordinary person. He is the authority on spiritual knowledge. And all other authorities coming after him simply have to follow Vyasadeva. But even he appeared to be bewildered temporarily. This should be understood. This bewilderment of Vyasadeva is going on under the Lila Shakti, or the pastime potency of the Supreme Lord. Vyasadeva is certainly not affected by the modes of material nature. He is not bewildered under the influence of the modes of material nature. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So there's your question in more detail. Some reply is there. Please.
Bhagavatam was spoken by Godanath or Mara. Much more earlier. Just before. So, what the meaning of the conservation of power? Is it like Bhagavatam is eternal and becomes manifested in some particular points of time?
Yes, Bhagavatam is eternal and manifests in different times and places in varying forms. Just like the deity is Krishna. Krishna is eternal. but the deity is Krishna, but manifests in various forms, which may be slightly different,
so
in different times and places.
Every cycle, the avatars of God make Dwapara, Krishna avatar, Rama avatar, another Yuga. The same again, the cycle comes in there. The same avatars again keep coming in there.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. There may be some unusual avatars also, but the standard ones are there. There may be some avatars which are just manifested unusually, but the standard avatars are there. You mean this Brahma's prayers of for creative energy? Brahma creates every day of his life.
Brahma?
Every day he creates. And every day he prays to the Lord for the knowledge and ability to do so. It's not such an ordinary thing to create everything. So every day he, to revive that knowledge, he prays to the Supreme Lord. It appears that on some particular special occasion he had this vision of Govinda Madhi Purusham and composed these prayers. Any other question? If not, we'll finish and say Hare Krishna. This 18,000 verses is also only a summary. In the heavenly planets, we have Bhagavatam with some lakhs of verses. So, Bhagavatam is there in four verses, that means in seed form. Again, the same point is there, that Bhagavatam is eternal, but appears in certain forms at certain times. Bhagavatam means that knowledge which is in relationship to the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. So that is spoken in various times, in various places, by various sages. It's all in pursuance of the knowledge given in seed form by Krishna to Brahma. And that finally Vyasadeva, taking from all different sources, compiled this Bhagavatam as we have it now today.
Generally we say that this material, middle planet is suitable for spiritual elevation. Higher planets are not suitable.
It's not that Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets is better than what we have here now. It's just that people have more brain power to understand it there. But they may not have the, due to the strong mode of enjoyment, they may not have the inclination to take it up very seriously. They don't. In the heavenly planets, they're on a higher level of karmic development. And in the heavenly planets, they're on a higher level of karmic enjoyment. But they don't get the same realization as those who are... It's difficult for them to get the same realization as persons who seriously take on spiritual life on this planet. The mode of enjoyment is so strong there that they tend to be bewildered by that. Hare Krishna. Another question? I'll make this maybe the last one, because I'm running out of strength. So, yes, therefore, later generations of Vaishnavas, it's in general, it's not recommended to that one should show symptoms of love of God, because there's so many people have misused this. It's not an ordinary thing to be Pundarik Vidyaniti. He is Vishabhanu Raja, the father of Radharani. So simply to imitate is not the real thing.